fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to continue today to look at the stoning of Stephen, the martyrdom of St. Stephen. Stephen is a deacon, part of the first band of deacons that the apostles raised up in the early church. That is, gathered men of faith and of men filled with the Holy Spirit were set apart to serve the widows, to really care for the needs of the poor that the church was serving at the time. The apostles were busy proclaiming the gospel and building the church, and so deacons were raised up to assist them in their work. And one of the first band of deacons raised up was St. Stephen. And Stephen was a man filled with the Spirit, they said, man filled with faith in the Spirit. He had radical trust in Christ. He had abandoned his whole life to Jesus. He'd come to that point of completely identifying with the person of Jesus, with his whole life, mission, and teaching. And Stephen knew in his heart and in his bones that Jesus was the only Savior of the world. And he went forward to proclaim that truth as well. He served the poor, but he also preached the gospel. He participated with the apostles in testifying and bearing witness to the truth of who Jesus is and giving to others the offer of salvation, to come into right relationship with God, to come to receive the forgiveness of sins through repentance and baptism and receiving Christ into their hearts and becoming members of the church. It's a fantastic meditation. I encourage you to take some time, maybe today, in the next couple of days. It's in Acts chapter 6 and 7, the story of St. Stephen, how he's raised up as a deacon, and then how he goes forward and really proclaiming the gospel and working signs and wonders. And then some of the leaders, some of the religious leaders, they're hostile because Stephen's getting a following. And they're threatened by it. They're jealous. They're angry. They want his message silenced. They want him silenced. And so now we're seeing what Jesus told the apostles would be part of their normal experience as followers of Jesus. Jesus, the great line Jesus said, we all know that the servant is not greater than his master. What is good for the master is good for the servant. The servant is identified with the master. Jesus makes clear he's the master, and all of his followers are his servants. And Jesus said, I call you friends. Jesus' servants are friends. We're not his slaves in the sense of having no relationship with him or something to that end, but we have a deep personal relationship with Jesus. But we understand that we're following. We're not leading. We're following Christ. As St. Paul puts it, he died, that is Jesus died, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. Stephen had made that transition. Stephen understood when he became a disciple of Jesus that his life was no longer his own. And deep down in his own mind and heart, by the grace and help of the Holy Spirit, he came to the place where he came to terms with that thing that's in each one of us, the flesh, the self, the part of us that wants to be in charge, that wants to craft our own purpose and our own design. He came to terms with the knowledge that within his own heart is resistance to God, and he put that resistance down. He acknowledged the truth of his own heart as diagnosed by Jesus, as now communicated to Stephen by the apostles. And he said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. The life I now live is a life of faith, of abandonment of my life in trust to Jesus. I now live for him. I live by his strength. I live in him. Jesus has come on mission. Therefore, I'm on mission. Jesus has come to reveal the Father. Therefore, I want to reveal the Father. Jesus has given to us the whole way of life he wants us to live between now and his return. That's what I want to do. And I want to bring as many people into that life as possible. That's the heart of St. Stephen. So he's preaching the gospel. Here we are in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. The religious leaders have trumped up charges against him, grab people to come up and make false charges against them so they can accuse them and get rid of him. Stephen said to the people, the elders and the scribes, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. What is stiff-necked people? That is resistance. You who resist the word of God, you who resist God, and your hearts are not consecrated and given over to the Lord. Your ears are not toward the Lord. He says this, one of the great lines for me, you always oppose the Holy Spirit. Here's a good reflection for each one of us. Do we oppose the Holy Spirit in our lives? Do you oppose the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you open to the lead of the Holy Spirit, the promptings of the Holy Spirit? As Pope Benedict said, the entire mission of Jesus can be summarized in this. He came to baptize in the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, as we'll see coming up in a few weeks as we celebrated the great preaching of Peter, Peter said, the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the fulfillment of the prophet Joel, that the Holy Spirit that was given to particular people in the Old Testament, upon prophets and upon kings. Now, God's plan was to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. Each one of us who are baptized into Christ have received the Holy Spirit. And it's not just a one-and-done thing. It's being baptized into a relationship with Jesus in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is a person, has made us now a temple. The Spirit dwells in us as in a temple. We have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus' own Spirit. This is how Jesus disciples us, how he leads us, how he inspires us. As members of his body, as members of his church, we understand very clearly what Christ has revealed and given to us in his church. He's given us the institution of the church, the priests, the religious, and orders, the sacraments of the church, the commandments that the church continues to preserve, the tradition through which the church continues to grow and give away to the world the revelation of Jesus Christ. But we live in that community that's moving out in mission and building the kingdom of God, but each one of us also is guided, nurtured, strengthened, encouraged, convicted by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Stephen is saying, you always resist the Holy Spirit. He said, you're just like your ancestors. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They put to death those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You received the law as transmitted by angels, but you did not observe the law. When they heard this, they were infuriated, and they ground their teeth at him. You can just see the anger and the rage that's building, because he's convicting them. He's exposing the truth about their hypocrisy and their lies. That's what we can be like too. One of the reasons people resist Christ and resist his teaching, they like their particular idea of the Christ that suits them, but the Jesus that is of the Gospels, the Jesus who speaks very difficult words as well as very encouraging words, the Jesus who demands repentance. He said, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. You must lay down and die. You must accept the diagnosis I gave you of your life. You must turn toward me and set aside your priorities now and take up mine. That's when the human heart really starts resisting. That's when we get infuriated. I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. I don't want anyone to try to control me or define for me what my life is going to be. It's my life. I'll live it the way I want to live it, how I want to live it, in whatever way I decide to live it. There's a resistance in every human heart to the commandment and the will of God. But Stephen, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit in the face of all that resistance as he's standing there alone. And the leaders are just enraged at him. He's filled with the Spirit. This is Jesus' promise. Jesus said, when these days happen, when the world comes against you, don't be afraid. I'm with you always until the end of the age, till the end of this age, until he comes again, or until he brings you home. God is with you. Stand. Stand for Christ. Stand in the truth of Jesus Christ. Stand in what he has revealed. Bear witness to it with your life. Do not be conformed to this world, but be like St. Stephen, transformed by the renewal of your mind. Here's Stephen with a renewed mind. He understands what's really going down here. The mob doesn't. The mob is blinded. So Stephen is not condemning them. Stephen is bringing light and truth to them. The passage goes on. But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. In that time of great trial and testing, Jesus gave to St. Stephen a revelation of his glory and his majesty. He's at the right hand of God. And just as Jesus said, what that means is all power and authority belong to Christ. Friends, the entire universe is in the hands of Jesus Christ. So is your individual life. You were made by him. You were made for him. He's come to bring you home to the Father. And the only safe place is to be in his will. Better to be in Jesus' will and have the mob against you than to have the mob for you and you stand against the kingdom, stand against the king. The mob has ultimately no power. It can feel like they do. It can feel intimidated and frightening. We don't want to be threatened. We don't want to be marginalized. We don't want to get hurt. Jesus says, don't be afraid. We need to walk in the footsteps of Jesus himself. Hebrews chapter 12, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Stephen's able to stand up because he has Jesus in his heart, and now Jesus consoles him in this moment of great trial. And by giving him a revelation, Jesus didn't intervene to protect him physically. Jesus didn't say, hey, run, Stephen, here's your way out. He knew Stephen was destined to be a witness, the first martyr of the church. And as he stood there, Jesus strengthened him by allowing Stephen to see who Jesus actually is, where he is, who he is. But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of the young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul was consenting to this execution. Now we see the great character, the person of who will become Paul and St. Paul. There he's a zealous, zealous Jew who's coming after all those who are proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. And he wants to see them stoned, and he's coming after them. And so he's witnessing. Paul is there at the first martyrdom. It's a very significant thing in his life. But let's look again just at the final words of Stephen. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He's echoing Jesus' own words from the cross. Father, receive my spirit. Then he fell to his knees and he cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. The people who persecute us, the people who persecute the church are not our enemies. We have one enemy, the devil and his minions, the demons that are set against us and against the kingdom of God. Jesus said, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. They think they know what they're doing, but they don't because their minds are darkened and they're enslaved. And Jesus wants to free those who are in darkness. He wants to set those captives free. And that's exactly what Stephen is doing. Stephen is conformed now to Jesus. And that's exactly what we're called to do and to be. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.